Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we dive deep into God's Word and try to make His Word accessible and relatable to everyone. Even if you're picking up the Bible for the first time or really trying to connect to listen to what God has for you. And that's our hope. As we're journeying on this long tour together through the New Testament this year, I hope you've found some wisdom in His Word and maybe understand it a bit more. I know every time I read it, I do. So today we're unpacking Galatians. A powerful and really an enlightening chapter. The entire book is, but chapter 3 from Galatians is where we are today. And I always read from the CSB version, the Christian Standard Bible, but it doesn't matter what version you like, whatever you want to go with, go for it. You'll see our words are a little bit different, but it's saying the same things, essentially. So, grab your Bible if you can. Listen closely, if you will. Let's read God's Word together. All right. Before we dive in, let's do a quick recap of chapter 2 in Galatians. In the previous chapter, we saw that Paul defended his apostleship and the gospel, that they were divinely inspired, right? That the gospel he's sharing of the justification by faith and not by works of the law, that is the true gospel. He confronted Peter for his hypocrisy, and then we saw emphasis that both Jews and Gentiles are justified by faith in Christ, not adhering to traditions or laws set, no matter how long they've been in place. Salvation, we are justified by faith in Christ. And now that set the stage for even deeper diving into faith and the law, into our chapter today. And that's where we are. Chapter 3 is the continuation of Paul's argument against the Galatians turning back to the law after they've received the gospel of grace. It just blows Paul's mind. What are you doing that you are so quickly deserting the gospel for this different message based on the law when Jesus came to fulfill the law? If you're saying that you're falling back to that, then Jesus died for nothing. There you go. And he finished on that. And so today he continues this message. And the first look forward, when we're going to see in our reading today from chapter 3, I want us to look for the comparison of faith versus works. Paul uses the example of Abraham. He talks about Abraham and emphasizes that he was justified by faith before the law was given. It's talking about the superiority of faith over the law. And we'll see that it's a call for us to live by faith. We've got to understand that the law serves to point us to our need for Christ. That's the law reminds us, points us, redirects us to know that we can never fulfill and be worthy of and do enough works to ever earn our way. That's why Jesus was given to us. The law points us to our need for Jesus, not towards a way to earn salvation. The next big takeaway or look for today is that we need to see the purpose of the law that's brought up. As I just said, that purpose is to show people their sins and their need for a Savior. Okay? And then finally, unity in Christ. Look for this theme is brought up. That there's no longer Jew nor Greek. That we are unified together. There's no longer slave or free, male or female. For all are one in Jesus Christ. And this unity should transcend all divisions, cultural divisions, societal divisions, and should emphasize our identity in Christ. And it challenges us to live out this unity. There is diversity all around us. The Lord wants to break down those barriers and utilize our differences together for His glory, to sharing the gospel news with the entire world. Those are three big things that are going to come out from our reading today. So let's do that. Let's read together. Let's turn to chapter 3 in Galatians. Let's start in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 3, and we'll go all the way to verse 29, the entire chapter today. Get ready, because Paul is going to hit his heart. Here we go, verse 1 of chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finished by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard? Just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, "All nations will be blessed through you." And consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, "Everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed." He quoted Deuteronomy there. Verse 11, "Now it is clear." It's clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. No, it's not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hung on a tree." The purpose was the blessing of Abraham, was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Brothers and sisters, I am using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to a validated human will. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds," as though referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your seed, who is Christ." My point is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God and thus cancel the promise. For if inheritance is based on the law, it's no longer based on the promise, but God has graciously given it to Abraham through the promise. Verse 19. Why then was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions, until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was put into effect through angels by means of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not just for one person alone, but God is one. Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. But the Scripture is imprisoned everything under sin's power, so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law, then, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you, this is verse 27, for those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, since you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And that was Galatians chapter 3. All 29 verses. Let's take a moment to unpack the process and to see what God has for us to move forward with this in application. So, in looking at what we just read, justification by faith. So the first thing that I think we need to really discuss today is that we understand that righteousness comes through faith in Christ. And it liberates us from the burden. Now hear this. It sets us free from this everyday effort and burden of trying to earn God's favor through our works. That every single day we're trying to earn favor, and we know that all of our efforts are like filthy rags. We know that. And so that's the glory, the goodness of Jesus' righteousness. It's through Jesus, through faith in Jesus. And so what that should do, it should bring us into this deeper relationship with God. This relationship where we trust in His promises. We trust in what He has given us. This amazing gift of justification by faith and not by works. Every day we should remind ourselves of this gospel, this amazing gospel truth. And be grateful. Be grateful to God for His grace. And ask Him even more to strengthen our faith. Justification by faith is an amazing reality once it connects in our heart. Next thing is we need to understand is that the law is designed for us to be redirected to Christ. It's for us to be reminded of our need for a Savior. It shows us our sins and shows us how we will never alone without the work of God overcome those sins and be perfect without Christ. Because God can only have perfection in His presence. He is good and only good. And so this realization helps us appreciate just the extreme magnitude of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. This is absolutely huge that He took all of that on Himself. And so what we can do, we can look at our own lives and reflect on areas where we try to earn His approval or the approval of others. We should reflect on those efforts that are in vain and embrace grace. If we can live under grace and let everything we do as an effort to glorify and honor Him, that's the spiritual maturity that we should try to step into. And finally, this unity and diversity. We close the chapter with that as Paul nailed that down, that our identity in Christ is everything compared to divisions, earthly distinctions, that differentiate us, but instead it should unite us in his body. We are a part of his body. We are the church. All of us, as different as we are, the looks, the experiences, the preferences, all the above that we have brought in, this is what he wants from us, to be brought together. Unity, this unity is a powerful testimony to the world, the entire world, as a source of strength that we have within the community of believers that we have together. And so how can we demonstrate unity? That's a good question. How can we demonstrate unity with believers of different backgrounds? Think of ways we can do that. Embrace one another. Embrace our differences. Far too often we flock to those that are like us. Far too often we flock to those we're comfortable with. We're called to get uncomfortable and connect with those that are different so that we can join together using our differences to glorify him, to share his good news through creative, innovative ways that he puts on our hearts together. Imagine what we could do for his kingdom when we bring our differences and make them into amazing masterpieces. So much truth in that. Paul was an absolute mastermind as he allowed God's word to flow through him. Guys, thanks for joining me today. Great chapter. A lot of wisdom in Galatians 3, and there will be in 4 as well. I'm looking forward to the next chapter already. And so, may you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And may you strive to be a blessing to all those around you. Have the very best day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.